gonna sit right down and write.
This is Lisa Davis with another episode of Did You Know? Did you know? St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, arguably one of the most intelligent men ever to have lived, and more impressively, one of the humblest and most holy, suffered, or caused others to suffer, from a particularly common personal flaw. The celebrated author of over 60 books and countless other works of scholarship, from sermons on the epistles and gospels to disputations on such topics as truth, virtue, the power of God, and the union of the incarnate word, St. Thomas, perhaps most famously the author of the Summa Theologica, the consummate theological encyclopedia of all things worth knowing, had terrible handwriting. I mean, abominable. In Latin, the scourge is known as littera inintelligibilis, which translated means incomprehensible writing. If you plug this Latin phrase into your search engine, no kidding, St. Thomas's name comes up. He was, and still is apparently, notorious for his indecipherable scrawls. God bless him. There are many, I'm sure, who can identify. I have a couple children who are going to now use this as justification for their own littera inintelligibilis, to which I'd have to respond that St. Thomas's content more than made up for a multitude of scribblings, and scribbling it was. The story is told of a scholar, a great devotee of St. Thomas's, who received the honor of reading firsthand some of the handwritten notes of his patron saint that had been preserved for posterity in the Vatican Library. He could barely contain his excitement as the conservator produced a thick pile of vellum, which is the treated sheepskin used in medieval days for durable paper. With white gloves, the conservator uncovered the first of several pages of Latin text, and the scholar drew in a breath of awe, knowing that St. Thomas Aquinas himself had penned the words in front of him. But, expert as he was in the language and its usage during the 13th century, though he squinted and peered at it from every angle, he couldn't read more than a random word here and there. Not only were the individual letters themselves little more than chicken scratch, but the angelic doctor had written all over the margins, cross-hatched some of the text, and the Latin words and sentences, instead of marching in predictable order, followed the pattern of a bumper car rally, a no-rules, off-road literary pileup. He'd heard the rumors, but never had the scholar imagined that such an orderly mind would make such disorderly notes. In the end, the scholar appreciated the text's value as a third-class relic, of course, and treasured the honor of holding Catholic history in his hands. But he also came away with a new appreciation for St. Thomas's secretary, Reginald of Piperno. It's said that Father Reginald, who was also St. Thomas's friend and confessor, was the only one in his time who could decipher St. Thomas's writing. Some declared it to have been a supernatural gift. Yet, St. Thomas's iconography typically places a quill pen in his hand, appropriately, of course. The world, even the secular world, knows him for his writings. And to those who understand anything important about the angelic doctor and find out about this quite human failing, the quill is more endearing than it is ironic. It's reassuring to know that, brilliant as he was, St. Thomas Aquinas was human and three-dimensional. He needed a secretary more than most people. He was never one of the cool kids, except amongst the heavenly choir. Did you know his first words were, Ave Maria? Before he gained fame and respect through his writings, young Thomas was the butt of jokes. Most know about his nickname, the Dumb Ox. He was large and slow. He might have been described as ponderous, but far from dumb, as his teasing schoolmates were to discover. He plodded along through the 49 years of his life. Did you know he only lived to age 49? He plodded along steadily, praying and thinking and writing for and about God. Though his penmanship meandered, his purpose never did. St. Thomas cherished a great devotion to Christ crucified, and it was from an image of the crucified Savior while offering Mass on the feast of St. Nicholas in 1273 that Jesus said to his servant, "Thou hast written well of me, Thomas. What reward wouldst thou have for thy labor?" Thomas's reply, "Non nisi te, Domine," which means, "Nothing but thee, O Lord." After which, St. Thomas never wrote another word. Did you know that the Summa is an unfinished work? His friend and secretary, Reginald, was of course perplexed by this. One might say gobsmacked. And he asked, in so many words, "Why have you put away your ink and pens? What on earth happened?" St. Thomas told him, quote, "I can do no more. Such secrets have been revealed to me that all I have written now appears to be of little value." When pressed, he only added, "All that I have written seems like straw to me now." We can only guess what St. Thomas must have been permitted to see and understand. But one thing seems clear: his mission on earth had been completed. Not long afterward, on his way to the Council of Lyon, St. Thomas somehow hit his head on the branch of a tree. We don't know exactly how it happened, but it certainly seems likely that he sustained a concussion and perhaps a serious brain injury. He was taken to Monte Cassino, where he recovered enough that he was considered able to travel on to Lyon, but he fell ill again on the way, and was then taken to the nearby Cistercian Abbey, Fossanova, where the monks cared for him for several days. Alban Butler tells us, "The good monks treated him with uncommon veneration and esteem, and as if he had been an angel from heaven. They would not employ any of their servants about him, but chose to serve him themselves in the meanest of offices. His patience, humility, constant recollection, and prayer were equally to their astonishment and edification." St. Thomas, though he is renowned for his writings and his holiness, is not known particularly for an abundance of miracles during his lifetime. There were a few, and one of them, an attested miracle, is recorded as having taken place during his last days with the Cistercians. As is often the case when you're ill, you have good days and bad days, and it was likely on one of the good days during this final illness that an attending monk asked, "What would you like to have, Thomas?" And the saint's reply was, "Well, I wouldn't mind some herring." Now, don't laugh. What did you expect him to say? Fish is brain food, and a brain as proficient as St. Thomas's must have thrived on kippers, and the monks would have been pleased to be able to fulfill so simple a request for their honored guest, except that they couldn't. The Abbey of Fossanova is situated in the region of Lazio, about 70 kilometers or 43 miles southeast of Rome, on the Tyrrhenian coast, near the knee of Italy. And in this particular sea-going place, in the 13th century at least, herring was just not available. Herring, I guess, don't swim near the knee of Italy. Sardines, however, do. In schools and universities, sardines, to be clear, were the general stock fish of the region. So, nonplussed but eager to do their best, one of the monks was dispatched to fetch some sardines, hoping the substitute would be good enough. And, you know, knowing Holy Thomas, it would be. It would never occur to him to complain regardless. But they had no need to worry anyway. Apparently, when the monk arrived at the fish market, the fishmonger, who thought that he of all people should know what fish he'd caught that morning, lifted the lid off his barrel of sardines and found not sardines, but, you guessed it, herring. Imagine the fishmonger's astonishment. You can be sure, too, that if any of the Cistercians had any doubts, they would then have been convinced that they harbored a saint beneath their roof. And St. Thomas accepted the gift, as he did all other blessings, and enjoyed his kippers. A little last-minute thank you from heaven while he was still on earth. A humble, thoughtful thank you from the fisher of men, who would undoubtedly have understood completely a man's preference for herring. St. Thomas lingered at Fossanova until the 7th of March, 1274, passing to his eternal reward a little after midnight. His last words were in answer to a monk's question, "By what means might we live always faithful to God's grace?" St. Thomas's reply was, "Be assured that who shall always walk faithfully in God's presence, always ready to give him an account of all his actions, shall never be separated from him by consenting to sin." St. Thomas was canonized by Pope John XXII in 1323. St. Thomas Aquinas is the patron saint against storms and lightning. He was deathly afraid of storms, having been present as a child when his sister was killed by a bolt of lightning. Angelic in the virtue of purity, he is the patron saint of chastity, and is also well known as the patron of booksellers, apologists, and academics. He was our family patron through 25 years of homeschooling. We started every school day with this short prayer to St. Thomas. Grant me, I beseech thee, most merciful God, prudently to study, rightly to understand, and perfectly to fulfill that which is pleasing to thee in the praise and glory of thy name. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas, pray for us. Please intercede for an increase in the virtue of purity in our world. Protect us from sudden death. Bless all students and teachers. Help all those who struggle with their penmanship. Console and pray for the patience of teachers who have students with Litera Inintelligibilis. Blessed be God in his angels and in his saints. And blessed feast day to William Thomas.